Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of the things corners always say is that some guys that make every route look the same, you know, those guys are hard to play against. He has a feel for just how to run routes. He knows how to change speeds when it's appropriate. He understands the leverage of defensive backs to create separation. And I think, put aside the 4-2-9, he does have a vertical dimension that I think can transition to the next level.
That's Greg Cosell on with One Bills Live, specifically on Matthew Golden, who's a receiver we've spent a little time with, Texas wide receiver. Bills have actually had visits with a lot of Texas players. Jaden Blue, a running back earlier in the week, was here on a visit. I've seen him projected anywhere from like round 3 to 4. They've had Isaiah Bond in on a visit, and now he's got the legal thing, and there's some talk about Golden.
Cross him off the big board.
A lot of Texas guys, it seems, for the Bills.
Zach's happy about that.
Yes, he is. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to the Western Hotline and bring in Eric Edholm, NFL.com, one of our favorites on the draft as we are 1 week away. Eric, it's Joe and Derek in Buffalo. Thanks for taking some time out this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Happy, I don't know, what do we call it, the 1 week out celebration of the draft.
Happy 1 week out, yeah.
Yeah. So now the rumors pick up and whatnot. Before we get to anything Bills related, I wanted to start with the quarterbacks with you, because am I right in thinking that it's going to be Ward at number one, and then is it pretty much completely up in the air after that for not just who will go in the first round, but when they'll go in the first round and the teams? I mean, I know New Orleans is now thought of as like a strong possibility, and that's in the top 10. But yeah, like Sanders and Dart, how early are these guys in your opinion, going to go?
Yeah, no, that's the big mystery. Heading into Green Bay, I would say, is sort of figuring out who quarterbacks 2 through 4. I think we know who they are, but what order are they coming off? And when does that first domino happen, or that second domino, however you want to look at it? But, yeah, I think New Orleans is probably your first, you know, your ears perk up at that pick when we get to that spot. What do the Saints do? You know, new head coach, offensive-minded guy, Kellen Moore, Derek Carr's injury, that could start the ball rolling. You know, and I'll tell you what, there's been a lot more Jackson Dart buzz for New Orleans than there has Shedeur Sanders. So, you know, it wouldn't be shocking to see him be quarterback 4. And I think if you, you know, again, it depends who you talk to. It depends on the team need, the fit. Pittsburgh's waiting for Aaron Rodgers. You know, we don't know what the situation is there. How aggressive do Cleveland and the Giants get? They're going to pass on the quarterbacks at 2 and 3. I'm convinced of it. But what do they do with their second-round picks, and how willing are they to move up? Jalen Milroe is kind of the hot name right now, too. I mean, there are 3 or 4 teams that are very intrigued by him, and, you know, even after a disappointing season. So, you know, he's in Green Bay. I don't know that he's going to necessarily go before Buffalo's pick or not, but that would be a great situation for a team like the Bills if two or three quarterbacks ended up going off before their selection. I'm sure all those teams at the end of the first round feel the same way.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Trading down maybe early second round from 30 if a team wants a quarterback.
Yeah.
For you, if Sanders were to fall to being the fourth guy, why do you think that would happen? Do you think it would be more about the little holes in his game and him overall as a prospect? I was reading your top 100 the other day, and I think you had him in the 30s somewhere.
Yeah.
So like how much of it is prospect versus, you know, all the rest of it, personality, the name and everything else?
Yeah. I mean, part of me would love to find out, like, if his name was Johnson, what would we think of him as a quarterback? I suspect the fact is that it was mainly driven by January and December mock drafts that had him going second or third very frequently, and then all of a sudden he's falling. Well, I don't know that NFL teams have necessarily viewed it that way. I don't think a lot of them had high first-round grades on him at any point because he's kind of physically limited. It's crazy to think. I mean, if we're comparing apples to apples, you know, Shedeur Sanders falls in the bottom third, physically speaking, of starting quarterbacks or even, you know, provisional quarterbacks, whatever you want to call it, the top 50 QBs in the league. You know, from an arm standpoint, a body standpoint, from an athleticism standpoint, he'd be in that bottom third, I think. And that's not to say that his toughness and his accuracy and his creativity can't shine, but, you know, it's going to sort of be the perfect spot for him, I think, a little bit. And maybe that lasts till round two, and maybe he's just got to wait a little bit. I don't know. He could be QB2. This is the fun storyline, I think, heading into the draft.
Eric at home with us on the Western Hotline. One more before we get to some Bill stuff. Just on Travis Hunter at the top of the draft, and how historic, are we giving enough credit to how unique of a prospect he is and how great he is going into this draft? Or maybe you think we are paying enough attention to it, because everything I read or listen to about him is just, like, the other day I heard a Jefferson comparison, how he just, like, he floats off the turf when he's running routes at receiver. So there, of course, is the debate about what he should play, but does it just feel like this is, like, an all-time great prospect heading into the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of argued that in some ways he's kind of bust-proof in that, you know, if he's not good at one, he can certainly do the other, and I know that's a little bit of a simplistic way of looking at it, but, you know, we just haven't had anybody with this type of skill set. On the flip side, we're talking about a 183-pound guy who we're all of a sudden saying is going to play 2,000 snaps next year. To me, that's a little far-fetched, and I understand he's digging his heels in and saying he wants to do both, and it's, you know, both ways are bust and all that, and I think it's great. I'd love to see it happen. I love innovators. I love guys who are trailblazers, if you will. You know, people have done things, do things that have never been done before. So I'm rooting for him. I just don't know how realistic it is to a full extent. But I'm sure whatever team drafts him, likely the Browns at number two, are going to try to get the ball in his hands on offense and will have a big utility for him on defense where they've been, you know, hit by some cornerback injuries. So, yeah, I hope people recognize how unusual this is. I do think there will be it'll be fun to see what the talk is after he's picked and once he kind of settles in and once we get closer to training camp. But for right now, yeah, I think everybody should be, you know, appreciating just how unusual this case is.
Eric at home with us on the Western Hotline, NFL.com.
So, Eric, when it comes to the Bills, as we transition to this, I do think it's a little bit of a fortunate scenario with the Bills this year of their biggest needs also seem to link up with where the draft seems to be at its deepest. Defensive tackle is one of the biggest needs that the Bills have this year. And I do think that corner is a very nice draft class here for the Buffalo Bills as well. It looks like a strong draft class, including the depth, at positions that the Bills just so happen to need the most.
Yeah, I think that's fairly true. Again, it depends on what you think about the wide receiver class. I would argue that's still a position they could stand to upgrade. For me, it's not a great wide receiver class. I think there's a little bit of depth, and I think there's some good players who will end up being, you know, solid pros or to very good even. But corner, it's maybe an average group when you stack it from A to Z. But the good news is that I think there's a good chance that some corners are going to last into the 20s, guys that have, you know, sometimes been mocked a little bit higher than that. I don't know what Will Johnson's fate is, but I haven't been able to sort of peg down where he's going to go. You know, and the same for Jahdae Barron and a couple of these guys too, where, you know, we could come to the latter third, the last 10 picks of round one, and, you know, maybe only one is off the board at that point. So I think it lines up kind of with where they're picking. Certainly defensive line has to be the strongest group in this class. And obviously if you include the edge rushers in that discussion, it even bolsters it further. But yeah, I mean, interior D line's really, really strong, especially that kind of one technique type. If they're looking for a long-term replacement for a guy like Daquan Jones, you're going to have your pick of the litter, I think, in not just at 30, but also later on in the draft. So how they play that first round pick, whether it's standing pat, moving up, moving back, I think, and who they take, obviously, will tell us a lot about what they think of the D-tackle class. It's not to say if they take one in round one, it's that they're, you know, that they're worried about the depth or anything. They could certainly double up as well.
Eric, let's have some fun with this now. I've been of the mindset that they absolutely need that one tech. You mentioned, you know, helping upgrade from Daquan Jones. Kenneth Grant seems to be like the area's favorite prospect in that sort of realm, but I like a lot of players in round two. I know Darius Alexander's probably going to be like a late one, early two kind of prospect here, but I'm looking at guys like Tylik Williams out of Ohio State, Alfred Collins out of Texas, Deion Walker out of Kentucky. Very favorable options and plenty of options in the second round when the Bills do have two picks late in that second round.
Yeah, and I would even argue some of those guys could last longer than that just because of the sheer depth of the class. And the funny thing, too, is that I've gotten a wide range of opinions on some of these guys who are in that, let's say, second to fourth round range, if you will, you know, the day two and borderline day two guys. And some of it comes down to pass rush value. Obviously, when you have a 330 pounder, you're not expecting him to rack up 10 sacks, right? That's not realistic. There aren't too many of those guys out there, but there are a few of the bigger guys who have a little bit more, a little shimmy, a little wiggle, a little bit more ability to get in the backfield and such. But yeah, I mean, Collins is a really good player. I wish he showed a little bit more third down ability. Alexander, his age is going to be an issue for some teams, you know, and he was a little bit of a late bloomer at age 24. I really like Shamar Turner. I think he's been slept on a little bit. I know he's more of a, you know, sort of a penetrating three tech type, but Tylik Williams, I think, had he not gotten hurt at the pro day, you know, that he would have gotten a little bit more shine because his first 10-yard split was really good. He was in the midst of running the 40 when he got hurt, which is too bad for him, but he'll be fine long-term. And I think he really is in that, you know, sort of late 20s to early 40s overall. And I think that's sort of right in the Bills range that would make sense at that selection. But I'm with you too, that I don't think they feel pressured to make that pick at that spot. They can, if there's somebody they love, you know, whether it's Grant or whoever, fine, pull the trigger. But you also know that you can come back and probably get someone of, you know, commensurate value.
You know, you mentioned receiver, seeing it as a need for the Bills, and I'm of like mind. Like, for me, though, it's a very specific type of receiver, and sure, they have a lot of vacated snaps on the perimeter. So as you mentioned, like, there doesn't appear to be a lot of matches made in heaven for them, and especially in the first 2 days. The one guy I wanted to ask you about, though, is Luther Burden for this, because he did play a ton in the slot, which is the thing the Bills already have a lot of. But are you feeling at all that he is capable of more in the NFL than what we saw from him in college?
Yeah, it was a lot of manufactured touches at Missouri, you know, and a lot of touches within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage and things like that. And one reason is because he was so good at breaking tackles. Like, you know, if you have somebody who with that Deebo Samuel-like build, 6 foot, 205, you know, good speed and acceleration, great burst, you know, being able to kind of run through tackle attempts, and he did it so often, why wouldn't you do it? I think Mizzou fans wanted a little bit more of the deep shots, play him more outside. We just didn't see a lot of that. I didn't see a ton of separation, you know, kind of downfield. That was the one thing. I don't know that his speed totally translated in that regard, but he's got some punt return ability. He's got some real juice. And if you look back at his 2023 tape, when he was far more explosive, and I think that was a function of the offense as a whole and the quarterback position and all that, you do see a player that there was a reason why he was mocked in the top 10 or 12 picks in, you know, during the season and even into October, if you will. So Yeah, his usage this year was a little funny, and it's, I think it's helped kind of water down his value a little bit. But, you know, I think early second round makes a lot of sense for him. I've heard a couple teams in that range kind of eyeballing him. So I don't know if he's a fit for the Bills in terms of where he's going to go off the draft. But, again, you never know, and especially if they move down.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because the way you describe him, it's kind of what the Bills did on offense last year. It's just they already kind of have – and they could have more of what they already have. Yeah. I mean, Curtis Samuel couldn't stay healthy, and right. Shakir was all of it. So Burden does kind of fit that. It's just, I don't know. We're in this constant battle trying to figure out what they actually want from wide receiver. Do they want a guy that could turn into a future number one Diggs replacement, or do they want more of what they already have?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see somebody who can take the top off of defense, right? And that's not to say – I think that would help free up Shakir for a little bit more work underneath and all that. And so, obviously, Keon Coleman has the potential to be a big play guy, but not a speed merchant. That's not somebody you would say, all right, go blow by this guy in off coverage. That doesn't really – you know, I don't think that's his role. So, somebody who kind of complements the sort of the big go-up-and-get-it target and the quick, shifty slot guy. So – and there's some good deep threats here. I mean, Jalen Noel, I've seen him get downfield. Iowa State receiver, Kyle Williams. These are both guys who could go off second, third round. Not the biggest guys, but they have that extra gear to kind of to pull away from people. And some of that is also going to help Josh and James Cook and, you know, that hidden value of a deep threat, what it does to a defense when you play them.
Eric at home with us. Last thing for you, Eric. Is there anything that you think is worth trading up for if you're the Bills going up? I don't think they would go like a monster trade up. Maybe something that's like they often do. They'll go up a couple of picks. They did it for right. Dalton Kincaid, Kyrie Elam, obviously Allen and Tremaine Edmonds years ago. Is there anything you see for them where there's a player that makes sense, but he probably doesn't fall, so they'd have to go up and get him?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, you kind of have to look at the you know, sort of the playoff teams picking right ahead of them. And you know, let's not only get this guy, but keep him out of their hands. I'm sure there's some element of that, but it depends what they feel about the corners. I would say that might be a spot. And obviously D-line, I would not rule out. But, you know, if one of those top cornerbacks were to slide down a little bit, I wouldn't be shocked. Again, I don't know that Will Johnson gets that far, but he might get close. Sade Barron, you know, there's a question about whether he's a perfect fit for the Bills or not. You know, the arm length and then maybe more of a nickel guy, that sort of thing. I can see him needing it, but if you assume Hunter's number one and Will Johnson's number two or Barron's number two, you know, it might have to be one of those two guys that gets within range. And the thing about Johnson is he didn't run a 40 as pro day. He had the injury concerns. He didn't play a full season. Kind of like we were talking about with Burden, where, you know, the last body of work we had with him wasn't his best football, and this was somebody who was routinely mocked in the top, you know, 5 or 10 in the early going for a good reason. He's a talented guy.
Eric at home with us. Corner. Yeah, it's corner, the position we've definitely talked about the most for this. At Eric_Edholm. Check out all stuff NFL.com in the next week as we lead up to the draft. Thanks, Eric. Always appreciate you taking time out for us, and enjoy the draft.
Thank you very much. Will do.
Thanks, Eric. The idea of the Bills going up for a corner. You think?
It's got to be for Johnson or Barron.
I think more it have to be Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't think Barron, he mentioned like the questions about the fit. Mm-hmm. I think Johnson is the one.
Yeah. It would he'd have to fall. And it would have to be a precipitous fall. Like the Bills, they do have a lot of picks, but I also think that they value those 2 seconds considering the draft class.
What if it cost a first?
No.
How mad would people be if they traded up to like the 11th pick to get a corner?
I wouldn't be mad. I'd be shocked. The Bills do make aggressive moves, but not that aggressive.
That's the thing, right? It would be the first time. I mean, actually, really, they have never traded their first round pick to move up. They didn't even do. It's amazing that they didn't, but they didn't even do that for Allen. They gave up a second to move up to get Allen, and before that, Cordy Glenn.
Yeah. They would rather trade players in order to get that sort of thing. The only time that they've traded their first-round pick was to acquire Stephon Diggs.
Right. Right. So they would have to – maybe they wouldn't even – there isn't a guy. Maybe there is no way they could love a guy so much.
I think it's
unless like Travis Hunter falls to 10.
The draft is deep enough with the needs that they have that they don't need to get that aggressive in the first round. Second round, I'm seeing the idea of you're rocketing up from one of those two picks to go get a guy. And it's like a Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame, or Siobhan Revell is falling for some reason. And you have an opportunity to take one of those corners in the middle second round, and you need to move up probably like 8 to 10 spots to go get it. And it's going to only cost you like one of your fifths and sixths. Throw it in there.
Exciting. 1 week away.
1 week away.
Is there a wild? The other thing is like there's always a wild card team that takes a quarterback, right? Every year.
The Rams scream it.
They're getting a lot of Jackson Dart buzz right now, and I think that fit. I don't love Jackson Dart as a prospect. I think the fit, though, is perfect for him.
The fit makes sense.
If you're Jackson Dart, that's the place I want to go. The stat, the crazy stat that we had earlier this week about Dart, that I think the number was 14%. 14% of his pass attempts were dropback passes. Like a normal dropback pass. 14%. Everything else were RPOs and screens. Like he was running an offense where he's kind of being told what to do beforehand. And doesn't that kind of sound like something that Sean McVay could really get the most out of?
I mean, you'd
have to develop him more than that.
I would call shenanigans, though.
What? That he can be an NFL quarterback?
No, that he is the Rams' target.
Okay.
Like, this is smoke screen. Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
I mean, there's Ben Stafford buzz. I mean, he's back on a new contract, right?
I think they're trying to bait some of these other teams to trade up back into the first round.
Yeah.
And
I think I could see it for the Rams. Yeah. Stafford's old enough.
I could see it, but I also call shenanigans.
Yeah.
I think that is.
Last year, this was the Falcons, by the way.
Yeah. The Falcons. We didn't expect nowhere. It. Because that's the thing. Like, we're hearing noise about the Rams.
All right. How stunned would you be? So you're saying with the Rams, you'd be surprised, but maybe not stunned?
I wouldn't be stunned. I'm just thinking it's shenanigans.
The normal teams like Pittsburgh and these others, we wouldn't be surprised. Vegas at six?
Vegas at six. I'd be shocked considering where they are. I would say that's absolutely a surprise.
What about the Jets at seven? No buzz about them right now because they signed Fields, but it's only Justin Fields.
I got one better for you.
Who?
12. Dallas.
Dallas.
Sanders. It's a good one.
It's a good one.
There's your wild card.
Yeah. I do have a Dak Prescott MVP bet, though, so I might not love it for that.
He might be mad after the selection.
Get
an MVP.
What was there, a Cleveland Dak rumor a couple weeks ago? There's always been Dak rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
That's a Dak gets mad and plays out of his mind, wins you your MVP bet.
Indy.
That's a good one.
They just did it, though.
They just signed Daniel Jones, too, and it's like, it's a collection of mid.
Atlanta, no. Arizona would be floored, right?
Right.
Seattle wouldn't be stunning.
Seattle wouldn't be stunning, but it would be a little shocking.
Tampa would be stunning.
Everyone after 19. Outside of L.A., everyone after 19 is a surprise.
Until you get to the Rams.
Yeah. The Rams are the only one picking after 19 that you're like, okay, I can see it.
Yep.
And I still call shenanigans. They're probably gassing a team up to trade, and they're a trade-down candidate.
I'm going to troll Lou with this. The Eagles. The Eagles doing it would be funny.
It would be.
They did pick Jalen Hurts right after they signed Carson Wentz like 5 years ago.
You got to consider like the
that
Rams.
I have a second round though.
The Rams at 26, like that's also a really good way to like formulate trade down ideals because you're gassing them up, kind of like how the Bills gassed up Tavon Austin all those years ago to the Rams, oddly enough. But it just screams that to me of they want to get down and get more picks and they're going to try to like bait one of these teams like the Browns or the Giants to jump, and then they'll fall to 33 or 34, get plenty of selections, and really build the youth of a team on the fly.
You know who also would be funny to draft a quarterback would be Miami.
Yes, that would be
the Dolphins
that
doing
would be
it.
Shocking.
I mean, their backup quarterback has to play games every year.
Yeah.
803-0550 is the phone number on the NFL draft if you got a thought. I want to reset our Sabre conversation from the 6 o'clock hour when we come back. We're heading into the finale tonight against Philly. 15,000 fans. The first 15,000 get an Alex Tuck bobblehead, so be sure to get in early if you're going to the game tonight. against Philly. Fan appreciation night. A little bit later on today, we'll talk more draft with Chopin the Bulldog. I'll be on at 6 for their annual pre-draft special. Sal will be involved, Jeremy, Nate as well. So be sure to tune in. It's presented by your local Upstate Honda dealers. Be sure to check out their all-new fleet of Hondas, including the all-new Honda Pilot. Again, Upstate Honda dealers sponsoring today's show. 4 o'clock, Sal, Jeremy 4:30, Nate at 5, and then I'll be along at 6. Get to that Sabre conversation when we come back. What if they made it next year? How do you think it would happen? Let's play the optimistic game here. They make it next year. Why? Let me know what you think here on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
You know, I fully expected us to be right there in a playoff spot or competing and feel that we should have been based on the talent on our roster, so it's disappointing. Yeah, the exhausted part's probably right because it takes a toll, you know, I'm not just on me, but everybody in the fan base and everybody in this town when the team isn't performing at the level that is expected. So in saying that, you have to look in the mirror, and I do that. I start with myself, and what do we need to do? What do I need to do? And how do we fix some of the issues that need to be fixed? And how do we make the team better to be prepared for next season to not be in this spot?
Sabres general manager Kevin Adams. The Sabres wrap up the season tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers. If the Sabres were to lose, they would go to the sixth draft selection, before the lottery, at least, which is only a 1% difference. Also, there's no guy in this draft that's you could have four different guys at number one.
I think Misa, whoop-de-doo.
Misa is the name of the guy that might go one, or Higgins. There's a couple of them. So not worried about that at all. I guess if they lose, whatever. Right, we're not going to be mad about it, you think?
No. Like,
unless they get blown out like 10-0 in their finale.
Well, I will be disappointed because like I just don't want to see them lose five in a row to end the year. Because then that's losing streaks of 13, 6, and 5.
There is an argument, though, that this is not the worst thing in the world that this losing streak happened at the end. Because they had won, they'd won 8 of 9. And I think the last thing...
A lot of fears were like, they're going to run it back.
Yeah, well, they're probably going to anyway. But the last thing you would want is them thinking that they solved it at the end.
Right.
That they fixed it at the end and that, oh, we don't need to change anything.
We don't need to do anything.
Right. They should try to fix anything. The reason they run it back isn't because, like, if they had won 12 of 14 to end the season, then I might have thought, okay, they're not going to change anything because they don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Right now, I don't think they're going to change anything because they won't be able to do it.
I think they'll be able to do it. The thing is that it for me is I have faith in the moves if Kevin Adams makes them. The thing that I lack the faith of is if he will be able to do it. Whether it is ability or willingness, that is the problem. Now I'm looking at this as you cannot, for a third season in a row, sit on your hands. You can't.
Well, in what that can manifest itself in a couple of different ways. One way that I struggle with on that point of what to do is goaltender. Because goalie is got to be the number one position that has to improve from this year to next year. And the reason I struggle with it is because I truly believe Devon Levi is going to be one of the best goalies in hockey. Like, all the signs point to that. Every step of his development is that of the top goalies in hockey. Like, his struggles in the NHL, that is not uncommon at all at age 22.
Yeah, no, not
23.
At all.
That happens all the time. But being this dominant in the AHL, after being that dominant in college, after being that dominant in the World Juniors, is very different than Lukanen. Lukanen, who had one good OHL year and then wasn't that great in the AHL and wasn't that great even before that in the ECHL and then wasn't that great at the start in the NHL. Like, there was no step of Lukanen's development where he's like, this dude is, you know, lighting the world on fire.
And then last year happened.
Last year happened. But that
goalies
could be,
are weird.
That could goalies are weird, and
I'm
sometimes
stare
they
right
have
at Owen when I say that
flash in the pan seasons, right? Levi, though, as someone that could be a year to year to year to year top level goalie, I see that potential in him, and that's where I struggle. I think that's in there. How long can I just wait around though for that?
Yeah, it's almost malpractice.
That can't be my plan, can it? Because I don't know how long it's going to take him. Ryan Miller didn't become their starting goalie until he was 25 years old. 26 even. Really. When's his birthday? His birthday is in July. Okay, so his age 25 season was 05-06.
Yeah.
That's when he becomes the starter. And for Levi, you know, he's 23. So next year 24, then 25. Do I have to wait 2 more years?
I think it all comes down to...
Some guys take longer than that. Olmark didn't become a starter until he was 26. I got to wait 3 years?
I think this comes down to Lukanen necessarily, not Levi. And that is, what do you do?
Right.
I think that Levi next
year... Well,
there's
not much to do with Lukanen, right?
I think that next year you're starting Levi in Rochester. It's the right thing to do. Even if he goes on an insane playoff run this year, I think you should start him there. And if he beats out whoever you acquire, that's fine.
But that's a good question. What have you acquired? Because if you've gone out and gotten something tangible, then I don't think there is a path for Levi to beat a guy out like that. If they go sign...
He could beat Lukanen out.
Is Jake Allen a name here?
Jake Allen.
That's the name I keep thinking of.
Yes, Jake Allen's a name that I'm primarily thinking of in this aspect because he's playing significantly better this year. I think that he would be able to split time very favorably as well with Lukanen, not making him have to play too many games. And you could probably split this thing about, like, what, 50-30?
But, like, Owen brings up a good name for this. Like, if they sign Jake Allen and Levi is dominant in the preseason and in training camp, what after being dominant in the AHL playoffs, what do they do?
This is the issue with them.
Like, this is the issue. They put themselves in a really
tough
spot.
It's all centered around Lukanen. him blowing up this year on them has thrown a wrench into their whole timeline goaltending-wise. Because what they're hoping for was a Dustin Wolf situation in Calgary, right? You look at that, and you've got Dustin Wolf, and he's really good coming up, right? He's really good in the WHL, really good in the AHL, wins AHL Player of the Year, I think twice.
Yeah.
They have Markstrom this whole time, and he's playing well, and that's where your transition comes, is you've got a guy that's in the NHL playing at a decent level. You don't need to find a new guy. And now once your young up-and-comer comes in and proves, okay, I can really do this, I can really take over the net here and carry this team, then you move off of your former starting goaltender. You know, Markstrom's always going to be a better version of whatever the Sabres were looking for there. Mm-hmm. But they were hoping for that situation with UPL, in my eyes. You have a guy that's a spot filler until your young goaltender that's a star can come in and prove, all right, now I can play 50, 55, 60 games in the league. You can't ask that of Levi next year. You just can't.
It's irresponsible.
Unless he – you can't – I would say you can't plan on that.
Exactly.
You can't put all your eggs in that basket. If it happens, and that's where – like maybe I'm too high on Levi. I think that's possible.
I think
it's possible Levi is so good next year that he ends up starting 50 games because you can't deny him the net.
I don't disagree with that. Look at what Wolf's done this year for Calgary.
That's what's happened there.
He has come in and played – just as well as Markstrom ever did there. That team this year, that roster is no good. And they were an inch out of a playoff spot at the end of the year.
Right, and the plan for him at the beginning of the year probably was more like 30 games.
Exactly. And he came 55. Back. I heard him talk about this. He came back off the, not the All-Star break, the Four Nations break.
Yeah.
And Calgary was like, all right, you've been playing well. Now it's time for you to be the guy. Like, you're going to play every night. You're only going to get back-to-backs off for the rest of the year.
At this point, he was also giving them the best chance to win, and they were contending for a playoff spot.
Exactly, and that's what you hope for from Levi, but you cannot count on it. You can't.
You can't bank on that. And UPL, this is the real interesting thing about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen at this point. Jake Allen is one of the names to bring up here, but I do think it is also, is there a trade route where Luukkonen can go to a team, be the guy that doesn't have Levi breathing down his neck, you can pitch to it, you can pitch to another team. He's still only going to be 26.
Right.
And then, A, you have your long-term path for Levi. You also upgrade in net based on the youth of Luukkonen. But the question is, who could you get?
Well, I'll point to...
That's the real challenge.
Yeah, you got to find a good name for that. And I'll point to the comparable that I had earlier this week, last week. Ottawa just did this. Ottawa, in a form of it. I mean, the difference is Korpisalo had only been in Ottawa for a year. Luukkonen has been a part of this organization now for, what was he drafted, 2017?
I think that's right.
Talking like 7 years, 8 years now. But Ottawa paid Jonas Korpisalo, away from L.A. for a big deal. 4 years, $20 million. And after 1 year of it going poorly, they said, yeah, we need to do better than this. They took him, they packaged him with a first-round pick, and they went and got a Linus Allmark.
And
they fixed their goaltending immediately. So Luukkonen signed 4 years, $23 million. The questions are, there's two questions, though. Can you find a Linus Allmark, who was a Vezina winner in Boston, and they knew he was the number one goalie when they acquired him? Can you find an Allmark comparable? And two, do you believe the Sabres are willing to trade or to give up on Luukkonen like that 1 year after committing to him?
Yes, and here's why. It's Juuse Saros.
I love that name for this.
I love Juuse Saros. I think they're not going to want to block off Levi from getting this job.
See, that's a good question, too, because
Saros, though, is not going to be...
I want them to not be afraid of
truly
that.
Truly long-term at that point.
I want them to not be afraid of that because, actually... as we just look around the league for comparisons here, like how other teams have done this. Boston is not bad to look at, too. Boston, Jeremy Swayman was a very good goalie prospect. Like, same thing, like college hockey, like all coming up in his development, it was going really well. They signed Allmark, and they split the net for 4 years, and finally it was, okay, we think Swayman's ready to take over, so instead of him playing 38, 44 games, now we want him to have the net to himself. At that point, it's not really a problem that they had another goalie, because the other goalie was good and he was valuable enough to fetch them a first. Right. Now, it didn't work for them because Swayman was terrible this year.
The only issue with Saros is his contract.
It's not
the cap hit. It is the length and the term. It expires in 2032,
33.
It is a long time, which
that makes it very different than
Omar. Saros is 29. So I would say that doesn't block Levi's path. The contract does.
Well, it doesn't block him if you are willing to
move on
after a couple of years for something if Levi's taken the net. But that might not be so easy in 2 years he's got 6 years left at $7.7 million.
Exactly, and he's 31. And now, you know, goalies last longer, granted. And, you know, you've seen guys that last longer deeper into their careers and play really well, Lundqvist and Holtby, all those guys have played a long time. But
Thatcher Demko is my other answer for this as well. But I'm looking at teams that could use a little bit of a mix-up.
The Demko issue for me is you don't want to bank on that guy being healthy for a season for you. He's been made of glass. I mean, he's got that knee issue that never has even been seen before in the league. He's been in and out of the lineup all year for Vancouver. So in a year where you need that goaltender, if you're going to, either way, if you pair him with Levi and you want Levi at the start of the year and you're getting rid of UPL, you need a guy that's consistently there. If you're pairing him with UPL and Levi's in the AHL, then you also really need a guy, because we saw this year that UPL doesn't have that consistency to him yet. If he comes back next year and proves it, great. But again, can't count on it. We're going on 15 next year if we miss.
Yeah.
Jake Allen's an easy one because of the fact that the only thing you have to contend for is money. You don't have to worry about a trade. But at the same time, that is coming with the understanding of, Levi, unless you beat out Luukkonen in camp, you're in the AHL.
The Jake Allen idea to me is the way to go.
It's the most sensible.
He's old enough that he's not going to be around for too long. You're not committing to any kind of contract with him. You sign him, you get him for, what do you want to do, 3 years? Maybe you eat the last year of that. Okay, fine. And he's got a reputation of being a really smart, savvy veteran guy, perfect for Levi, really kind of shepherd him up into the potential that we need to see Levi reach.
Yeah.
To me, Allen is the answer here if you're looking to replace UPL, or even if you're looking to go into next year with another partner for UPL.
I like that. I think as we...
Yeah, what could go wrong with an Allen in Buffalo?
Yeah. A Jay Allen. As we go to break here and get to Extendo, I like all of these ideas. The most likely scenario by far to me is that it's just Luukkonen and Levi in goal to start next season. I think that is probably what happens. And to me, I think, even though I don't want them to bank on this, I think the most likely way that goalie gets them to the playoffs next year, if you told me, I played this game earlier, future me a year from now comes back in time and says, hey, they made the playoffs and goalie was a big reason why, I'm asking, that's because Levi did it, right? Levi did it. He finally realized the potential and all the signs we've seen in lower levels of hockey. He's arrived. That to me is how it would happen. The most likely way, at least. 803-0550, the phone number if you want to get a call in really quick. Jeff Stanhold will get to you super quick in Extendo Sports when we come back.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Be caller 5 doing a pair of tickets to the Ultimate Draft Night Party with Jeremy and Joe. Me, of course, and Jeremy. Thursday, April 24th, week from tonight, 7 p.m. at Resurgence Brewing. Tickets include preferred seating at the party, include pizza and all-you-can-drink beer and well drinks. Must be 21 and over to win. Jeff in West Palm Beach in Extendo. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, thanks for taking my call and sneaking me in.
Sure.
So here's the thought on Marner, which I think is in your wheelhouse, Joe, so you tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. My premise is everybody's got a number, and he's got one too. And if I'm Kevin Adams, I got to find out what that number is, because that's my chance. And what I'm basically saying is, if you can meet that number, I think you can get him. And it's probably way more than everybody else, but that's what you have to do to get an all-star to come to Buffalo. What do you think?
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff, for the call. It's going to be a common thought about Marner.
Marner's my wheelhouse. That's the dream.
Yeah. You're probably right. What's the number? The max is $19 million next year. Is his number... His number to go back to Toronto, it might be $14 million. His number to go to Carolina, it might be $15 million. His number to come to Buffalo, it might be $18 million. Or maybe there isn't one, because there is a max. So, sure.
Hey, be in on the conversation.
It's not to me, though, an Adams question, Jeff. It's a Pegula question.
By the way, y'all in the chat.
Does ownership want to give one player, if it costs $17 million to get him here, and he says, you know what, if it was 17, I'd do it.
Yeah.
That you're going, you Adams can do it all he wants.
It's Ken Pegula.
They need to sign off on that, and you also need to have the cap figured out and all that. So,
yeah. Y'all in the chat, by the way, cool it. Damn.
What are they doing?
Oh, the hairline all day.
Low-hanging fruit.
I got cooked worse than Kyrie Elam in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, that was a tough one for him. All right, that'll do it for us today. Come back tomorrow. Last game for the Sabres tonight. See how many points they finish with. And stay tuned. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on the way next here on WGR.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
we get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.